Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here with you again on Sunday evening.
Always good.
Always a pleasure.
Yes. Yes. If any of you are having trouble sleeping, keep listening.
Yeah. You know.
Just kidding.
Listening to the Word of God is very...
Amen.
It's better to fall asleep in the hands of the Lord than be in torment, you know.
Oh, is that in the scripture somewhere, or did you just make that up?
No, actually, one time I was praying, and I fell asleep, and God was kind of like, he showed me, like, how he wants to coddle you and just let you rest in his arms. And, you know, he's like, it's like he's daddy.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Neat.
And we're his children. And we, you know, as adults, we have a hard time with that because I'm an adult. I'm not a child.
Yeah.
But in God's eyes, we're his children.
Yeah.
So, and you know.
And he's Abba.
Right. And if anybody who's a parent, you know, their child is always their child, you know.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So what are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. It's, maybe we should have a talk show. Oh, no,
you think we should do a radio show?
Oh, no.
Can we do a call-in show?
No. So we'll find out that
a line's lighting up.
None of our four listeners want to call in.
A line's lighting up. Let's take it. No, I'm only joking.
Yeah. Well, we're coming into the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Into the Advent season, more technically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in our culture, you can blow people away by telling them the Christmas season starts, you know, December 24th.
Wasn't there Christmas in July?
Because they think it starts, you know, right after 4th of July.
Yeah.
They think it starts on Labor Day.
Now I'm all confused because I thought it was Christmas in July, and now you're telling me it's going to be Christmas again. So, wow.
But it's kind of interesting because, you know, as we study the Old Testament and we learn how God has a cycle that goes through the year. There's different seasons of the year, and there's a rhythm to the people's life based on the feasts and the harvests and, you know, all the things that we've been teaching about. You know, the church in very early times, you know, began to also establish kind of the rhythm of things, which were, of course, a little different. But at the same time, kind of similar, you had different feast days that were through the year with different seasons leading up to them. And of course, the ones that are probably best known are Advent leading up to Christmas and Lent leading up to, the crucifixion and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And, some other, you know, feast days scattered throughout, but these are important cycles of the church year. So, some of the, a lot of the sort of what you might want to call more modern churches that haven't had that kind of ancient basis of the liturgical seasons are now actually going back to celebrating Advent and commemorating Lent as they approach these important days in salvation history.
The birth of Christ.
Yeah.
Christmas, is that a bad word to say now?
No.
And Easter, the resurrection of the Lord?
I know, the resurrection of the Lord. Woo.
Yeah.
What an awesome day that is.
It is. It's foundational.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, it's interesting that even in the ancient church, the fathers of the church realized that people need time to prepare for these things in the sense of reflecting on what's coming and getting spiritually prepared for what's coming so that you don't end up, you know, waking up one morning and going, oh, wait a minute, is it Christmas Eve today?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God, you know, human beings are, we fall into habits.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we fall into bad habits.
Yeah, a lot of bad ones.
But God knows that because he created us.
Yeah.
And you know, we have to be in a cycle of things because without it, you would just wander from thing to thing. And really, there is, you know, a lot of traditions were made because of our human.
Yes, absolutely.
Really just how God created us.
Absolutely.
As a musician, when you practice an instrument, when you start to learn how to play an instrument, you have to do the technical training so that you're, and I know you told me it was neurological one time.
I practice 2 hours a day.
You do? Wow, that's awesome. That's
not
great.
An instrument.
No, geez.
Yeah, you have to establish the neural pathways.
Right, so that you're using the, you know, you're not wasting motion.
Yes.
And so that you become very efficient at it. But liturgically and spiritually, we need that same grounding because it keeps us close to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to go on a trip every once in a while, but you always want to return home.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is our spiritual home.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wander too far from Him and never return,
yeah,
we're like the, you know, we would be like the prodigal son that never came back.
Yeah.
So even if even if you're a missionary and you're traveling the world and you're serving God, you've got to come to a place of coming home to God.
Yes.
Yeah. All the time. There's a foundation there. So the liturgical year is cyclical, and there's a good reason for it, because it prepares us for the one who gave his life for us.
Mm-hmm.
It prepares us to receive him more fully, I think, and to reflect upon our need for him,
mm-hmm.
our human condition, why he came, what he did for us, and
mm-hmm.
kind of the stuff we talk about on the show.
Yeah, because, well, number one, there's nothing more important than that.
Right.
And number two, though, is the other reason it's important is it matches our human physiology. Because our brains especially, but our bodies go in cycles of things.
Mm-hmm.
You have a cycle of night and day. And
yeah.
If you're suddenly put on a really fast airplane and you go to a different place in the world, that all of a sudden, instead of being 7:30 p.m., it's 7:30 a.m., it takes probably about 3, 4, 5 days before your brain gets used to that.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens when you come back to the current time zone.
Yeah.
And if you've, you know, traveled long distances, like, you know, when we go to Israel, it's like, you know, you get there at 10 a.m., but your brain thinks it's 3 a.m. and,
yeah.
And you go through customs and you get your bags and you go through the thing and you go get the rental car and you're like, where am I? What time is it?
Yeah. Well, your body has a natural,
yeah.
I mean, your body has a clock. Your body has a clock really.
And so these cycles are important for us. And, you know, the first cycle that actually was put in place, well, of course, the first cycle was night and day, because I don't know why we're talking about this. This is not today, teaching for today, but the cycle of night and day is very important because in the days before electricity, when it got to be night, you couldn't do anything at night. Even Jesus says, well, you know, when it's dark, you can't work.
There were days without electricity.
Yes.
When did
and
that
so
happen?
You couldn't
no,
go,
I'm joking, sorry.
You couldn't go out at night and say, oh, I think I'll just, you know, get my horse and we'll go for a ride, because the horse couldn't see either. And unless there was a full moon out,
I was just going to say, yeah.
And you couldn't really do anything in the house with flickering candle lights and a fireplace on. I mean,
no.
If you've ever tried to read by candlelight,
oh gosh,
it's pretty tough.
you'll diminish your eyesight pretty quickly.
So when after the sun went down, you know, you sat around talking with your family members and then you went to sleep.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the natural cycle. And then when the sun was coming up, you woke up.
Yeah.
And I remember so distinctly when, in my years when I was in training and we never slept. And so every second night or every third night, you would be up the whole day, all the night and all the next day. And when it got to be like 3 or 4 a.m., you felt the worst. Because then all you wanted to do was close your eyes. You couldn't think straight. And then as soon as you started to see the dawn, all of a sudden, you like woke up.
Yeah.
Because now your body, your brain, and your adrenal glands say, hey, it's daytime. It's time to get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you feel like, oh, I'm waking up now, even though you haven't slept. And, you know, God gives us the second thing he gives us is the Sabbath, the Shabbat. So there's a cycle of 6 days,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a down day.
Yep.
So he knew from the way we're created, of course, that we needed a down day.
Yeah.
I mean, now we need like four down days, but he knew that in a, they were living, of course, in an agricultural, you know, much more primitive society, mm-hmm. but they needed a day to not do anything and to rest. Yeah. And so Jesus emphasizes this when he says, well, you know, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah. That's
it's
true.
For our good, not only spiritually, but physiologically.
Yeah, physically.
So that you have a day where you say, well, today my brain's not involved with my job. My mm-hmm. body's not involved with working out on the farm. We're just going to kind of go to church. We're going to hang out with the family.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to rest. I might even take a nap on the couch. You know, and it's good for you to go on with your life.
Yeah.
And the church cycles are, you know, kind of, a mirror of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, of course, in our culture, it's kind of gotten messed up with.
Yeah, everything's gotten kind of messed up.
Christmas, of course, is the ultimate example.
Yeah.
Of, oh boy, it's Christmas season. Let's everybody. And by the time it gets to be December 25th, everybody is just so exhausted and so sick of it.
Yeah.
But that's actually when Christmas season starts.
Yeah, it's all commercialized.
Yeah, because the time before that, which is Advent, which, you know, means you're waiting for his coming. You're waiting. That's supposed to be a spiritual preparation.
Anticipation of his coming.
Yeah. You're not supposed to put your Christmas tree up on Halloween and decorate your house and do all the stuff. And then you say, oh man, I can't wait till December 25th. You're supposed to be doing preparation spiritually for that day. And then you're supposed to celebrate.
Yeah.
Not that many people celebrate from December 26th to January 1st because they're a bit exhausted.
Yeah, it's even past that. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why there's the octave of Christmas. You know, there's, a lot of the feet, you know, there's a lot of events are celebrated for a week long.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get to the octave, you should know this because you're a musician, the musical term octave meaning eight.
Yes, eight.
That's the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
Or the eighth note in the scale, which is the octave.
Is that for minor and major chords?
Minor and major chords. Okay. Yeah, so you know. But
how come minor chords don't have fewer things?
What's that?
Minor chords should have fewer things if they're minor.
It's just a diminished third, that's all.
Oh, hate when that happens.
Well, yeah. Well, it has to happen or else it'll be a major chord. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So anyway. So, yeah, the cycle that the church has established, the cycle really, that the liturgical cycle that, you know, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people established in the synagogue, is what is used in a lot of mainline denominational churches to this day.
Yes, exactly.
It's nothing, you know, some people think there's a lot of differences, but if you really examine the liturgical celebrations, they're very close,
mm-hmm.
very similar as far as readings, psalms,
mm-hmm.
And just how that liturgical service goes, because mm-hmm. it's all centered on God.
Yes, and you know, in the Jewish liturgy for Shabbat, for the Sabbath, if you pick a certain date of a Saturday, you know exactly what the readings are going to be mm-hmm. in the synagogue.
Yep.
So the Torah portion is going to be the same. The reading from the prophets, which is called the Haftarah, is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a psalm, it's going to be the same.
Yep.
And everyone knows that those readings are there for a certain purposes to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And the Torah itself is divided up into portions called parashah that's divided into portions. So in one year, you go through the whole Torah,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And they're divided up because each of the divisions has like a theme to it.
Right.
And the Christian church kind of took that over right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So you had an Old Testament reading, you know, you had an epistle reading next.
Yeah.
But you had Psalms, and then you had an epistle reading, then you had a gospel, and it kind of, the point of it was to teach you salvation history, basically, because all of those four readings were connected together by people who really knew that stuff.
Yeah.
They were connected together so that the person could read the readings and say, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome. I get this now. I mean, yeah. It doesn't always work out that way, but the point of it is there's supposed to be a theme. And so.
It's how we learn.
That's how we learn. Exactly.
So, I mean, it's the same way, you know, school is the same way.
Yes. And when you learn, and mathematics is, you know, a good example too. You can't, if you took a, you know, a 7-year-old and put him in an algebra class.
Oh, you could do it.
One out of a million. But, you know, it takes a long time to kind of build up to the point where you can understand the algebra. Mm-hmm. Then you can understand calculus. Then you can understand what, but you need preparation to get to that.
Right.
And it's the same thing with, I mean, when I was a new believer and I started reading the Bible, I would sit there going, I don't know what this means. This sounds pretty weird because I had never studied before. I didn't care about it before. And all of a sudden I cared about it and I wanted to understand this. And the first commentary I read was a sixth grade, commentary, you might want to call it, on the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Well, a sixth grade commentary, I could understand. So when it, so when it told me about, you know, what the book of Genesis was about, I said, oh, you know, now I have kind of have the foundation of it.
Yeah.
And then you can approach it differently.
Right.
And for example, as we go into Advent, the cycle of readings has to do with the prophecies about Messiah, mm-hmm. most of which are from Isaiah, my favorite major prophet. And we're going to do some of those over the next, I don't know, a few weeks. And it kind of shows how the prophets talked about Messiah being born, talked about how he was going to be born, talked about where he was going to be born, right down to, you know, he's going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And roughly when it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty awesome because all of the scripture is internally consistent like that. So Isaiah writing that stuff, you know, in 700 BC really didn't understand what he was writing.
Right.
Or Micah rather saying, oh, Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem.
Right.
You know, and he writes that, you know, in 5 something BC. He says, why? Why did I just write Messiah when born in Bethlehem? I mean, he wouldn't have really known why he wrote that.
Yeah.
Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Ooh. It's the first time. We haven't started the lesson yet.
I know.
Oh, we're talking about cycles. Anyway, it's a break already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
There's a place where I can go. Where the angels hear me pray. I want to change, yes, I need your touch. I'm waiting here for you. And I fall at your feet. I'll give it all until the day we here I am, ready to give up my life for the
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Last week, we were actually in Galatians 5 and 6.
We were.
Yeah. It seems like a long time ago.
I know. Well, after that long introduction for the first segment. But
what, what about the cycle thing? Should we talk about that some more? No.
It's all foundational for what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
So we said all that to tell you this.
Yeah, we're getting up to, and of course, Advent's about Messiah being born, which we were kidding during the break that most believers would think that was pretty important.
We would hope.
Yeah, interestingly, you know, if, because let's face it, people don't usually probably think this way, but the whole Old Testament was there to get Messiah born. Mm-hmm. Have him do his ministry, die, rise, and ascend to heaven.
Yeah.
And for the Holy Spirit to descend on those first 120 people. And that's pretty much that 33-year and, you know, 50-day period of time was pretty much what the whole Old Testament was pointing to.
Yeah. I mean, because Christ fulfilled everything in it.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I think one of the things that God reveals himself to mankind through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he revealed himself to Abraham. Was that God sending me a text message?
I think it
was.
Sure.
I think it was. So, he said Elijah's going to be here at 8 p.m. to pick us up.
With the chariot?
Yeah, with the chariot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we got to get done.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, God reveals himself through the prophets, through the covenant with Abraham, through mm-hmm. the covenant with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about how he sent the Spirit out within Moses, you know, with Moses in the camp and the 72 were there and Eldad and Medad were late for the meeting. But they still got the Spirit anyway.
They had bad time management.
Yeah. You know, that's probably a long line at the deli. You know? So they get the Spirit. God pours out the Spirit upon them, but they prophesy once and that's it.
Yep. It says they did it once and never again.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about how, this was the other day at One of Messiah, you were talking about how God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. The cleft of the rock is a defect.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God was able to pass by him and Moses saw God's glory from the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was illuminated.
Yes.
And God tells him, nobody can see me and live.
Mm-hmm.
So yet when Jesus Christ comes, in human flesh, fully human, fully divine, but he had a human body. People can look at him.
Mm-hmm.
So God goes from having to hide Moses in the cleft of a rock to sending us his son that we can see him.
Yes.
And dwell with him.
Yes.
And he sends us his Spirit to remind us of all that he's taught us and to guide us and lead us in all truth. As mm-hmm. Jesus tells us, that's the mission of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But God does that over the course of time. And I always liken it to that God is infinite and his love for us is so great that if we encountered the fullness of his love at the very beginning of our journey with him, it would overwhelm us.
Yes.
And so this, you know, God shows us himself. It's like he's taking his time to get, you know, he wants us to get to know him and he's taking his time mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm. And revelation is in steps.
Right.
It's not all at once.
Right. It's not boom.
There and that's how the scripture unfolds.
Yeah. And so when we were talking in Galatians last week, It all had to do with putting on the new self, putting on Christ,
yes.
Taking off the old, you know, taking off my old self, my old desires, my old habits, and putting on Christ
mm-hmm.
and putting,
letting Christ renew me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church has the liturgical cycles, as a way of doing that, as a way of a help to do that, for us to do that, because of how we just are as humans, how we go through those cycles,
yeah,
as life. But you were saying, I know you were saying last week about how God is not mocked. A person only reaps what they sow.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about how God sees, you know, he knows every word that's going to come out of my mouth before I even speak it. Yeah. He knows the thought that's going to be in my mind before, yes, I even think it.
Yes.
And yet I can stand before somebody and go, if I don't say anything, they'll never know. But God knows. And we all, you know, and Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Who's free of sin?
Yeah. And so, most of the time in that situation, the woman who's, you know, the woman that you're looking at, most of the time wouldn't even know has no way to know what you're thinking,
right,
if you don't say anything.
But God sees it.
Right.
And this is the whole point of Advent.
Right.
That we prepare our hearts, we prepare our homes, and our home really is our heart, because that's where Christ wants to dwell,
yes,
with us.
Yes.
So it's about preparing our heart to be a dwelling place for him.
Yes.
You know, it's when Jesus says, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them,
mm-hmm,
but it's what comes out of their heart.
Yes. That's right.
Pride,
licentiousness,
envy,
mm-hmm,
all that stuff.
And every evil thing.
And every evil thing. What Paul talks about in Galatians 5, what we talked about the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The human condition.
Yeah.
They're evident, as you were saying. They're evident.
They're evident. The works of the flesh are evident.
Yeah.
And we all know what they are, mm-hmm, because we're all fleshy.
Yeah.
And so nobody has to tell you what lying is, mm-hmm, for example, because you've all done it.
Right.
And nobody has to tell you what, you know, greed is, because everybody knows what it is. And nobody has to tell you, you know, what lust is, because everybody has experienced it,
yeah,
at some point. And those things are part of your nature,
mm-hmm,
part of the flesh nature, part of your Adam nature. So you don't need, you know, that's evident. Nobody,
yeah,
has to explain that to you.
Yeah, you
it's
really don't
the
need
fruit of the Spirit that is different.
Yeah.
Because that's not your direct nature.
Right.
And because, as we were saying, all of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, points to Messiah. Messiah has to come first, has to do his life, his sacrifice, his resurrection,
mm-hmm,
all the teaching that went along, the ascension,
yeah,
then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and in an unlimited way.
Yeah.
As you were pointing out with one of our favorite stories from Numbers, where Eldad and Medad were, you know, where they were not in the camp, but they got the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was poured out in limited ways,
right,
in the Tanakh. It didn't mean he was only working part-time. It just meant that he would, that the main outpouring of the Spirit was upon a person who was the prophet, who was a prophet. And the Holy Spirit would fall on them, and they would say something.
Right.
They'd be inspired, and normally they would say, "Thus says the Lord."
Right.
The
right.
Old King James would be, "Thus saith the Lord."
So the Holy Spirit wasn't like a temporary back then.
No. No.
He
was just as powerful as he is now.
Exactly.
But now, because of Messiah, the Spirit is poured out in full measure. And you see the difference between Pentecost and that outpouring that happened,
yeah,
in Numbers, where those guys got Spirit-filled, they prophesied once, and it says they never did it again. The people in the upper room got filled with the Spirit, and then they went on through the whole rest of their ministry being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
They and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the Bible says, and Paul writes that, you know, when we become believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us.
Exactly.
So this is a total, you know, not only does Messiah come and dwell with us, tabernacle among us.
Yeah.
But then we have the Holy Spirit living within us. So when, you know, when the scripture says, you know, God's going to come and live with his people, boy, it's really a reality.
Right.
And so Paul's talking about in that passage from Galatians 5 that the fruits of the Spirit come,
right,
because now your life has changed.
Yeah. And this is why, And this is why, as you were saying before, how important Advent and Lent is.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are times of great preparation, spiritual preparation.
Yeah.
For us to take inventory of what's in our heart, take inventory of what's in our lives. And in the wisdom of God, He knows we need that. You know, the Holy Spirit does inspire people, even though we might think that they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because God works in, His ways are not our ways.
Yes.
And so these, as we were talking about this cycle of the liturgical cycles and the cycle of life in the first segment, it's so important that season of Advent, that time of preparation for the coming, for the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
do remember His first coming, yes. but we also prepare for the second coming.
We've been in the second Advent since He left.
Exactly. You know, people talk about the end times. Well, it's been the end times since he ascended into heaven.
Yeah.
And every day that passes, we are one day closer to His return.
That's right.
But we do not know the ultimate day that He's going
That's
to return.
Right.
And if anybody tells you they do,
then you know that they're wrong.
They're wrong.
Yeah, and it's that's interesting because at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, which happens to be my favorite book.
I thought Romans was.
No, Romans is second.
Okay.
But the writer to the Hebrews points out that, I'm going to paraphrase, of course, that in times past, God revealed Himself through His prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So each prophet brought a piece of information.
In partial ways, yeah.
Yeah, partial ways, what you might call progressive revelation. And then he says, in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son.
Right.
Because now we have full revelation. Mm-hmm. And the writer says the faith is once for all delivered to the saints.
Yeah.
He's the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so if God would have told, Adam and Eve what's in the book of Hebrews, they would have had no way to possibly comprehend that. It would have made no sense. Even people like Abraham and Moses would have been like, wait a minute, I don't get all that. The revelation comes in a stepwise way.
Yeah.
Till finally it gets down to Jesus, Yeshua, talking to the people that are the religious leaders
mm-hmm.
and saying basically, why don't you guys get this?
Yeah.
And then it leads to Paul in the book of Romans, which is my second favorite book, saying of all the people, they should have known that this was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so by knowing the scripture and by preparing yourself for His coming, by understanding prophecy and that kind of thing, it gets you spiritually prepared.
Yeah.
It's not about what day you're going to put up your Christmas tree. And it's not about, when am I going to start my shopping? It's about how do I prepare for Messiah being born?
Yeah.
What does it mean that Messiah was born? Because when we did that series about the cross as the center of history, the center of salvation history, which was already a long time ago.
Which it is.
You can't have the cross without Messiah being born.
Right.
You can't have the cross without Messiah being 100% man as well as 100% God, because in order for Jesus to die a bloody death on the cross, He had to be a human. God can't die a bloody death on the cross.
Right.
And so the whole point of having chosen people is to lead to Messiah.
Yeah.
In a biological way
mm-hmm.
as well as a spiritual way.
Yeah.
And so we, not that we can understand that, through Advent and then again through Lent as preparation times,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to be thinking about these things.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times I think, you'll hear somebody say life isn't fair or life is, this or that.
Oh, yes.
And life isn't fair. And a lot of things happen in life to people, good and bad,
mm-hmm.
that can shape us, can mold us, and mm-hmm. they can impact us in positive ways or negative mm-hmm. ways. But in all of it, God uses it. God uses it as a journey, as a yes. pilgrimage to Him.
Yes, it's our wandering in the wilderness.
It's our wandering in the wilderness, and it can be a great struggle sometimes, and it can be a great joy at times.
Does this involve pruning?
Yeah, it does.
I knew you were gonna
say
that.
It does. Yeah. Well, See, if you got a shrub and you never clip it,
yeah,
it just grows wild. It'll overtake the whole. It'll overtake everything else.
But sounds like my front yard.
But the you know as you're saying it's God allows us to. It's part of who God has created us to be, and it's part of how God created us, so that we choose to love Him from our own heart. Mm-hmm. If you choose to love, in any relationship, if you don't love the person selflessly, then you really have a conditional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You have a relationship where you're gonna want something when you do something, and you're gonna get something when you do something, and it's gonna be always this mm-hmm. tug of war of. I'm looking at that new car. Boy, if I'm really nice to my wife, maybe she'll let me get that car. I am looking at a car now, Blake. But it's those types of things where God wants us to become selfless,
mm-hmm.
to yes. empty ourselves just as Christ did, because Christ laid His life down for us mm-hmm. and gave Himself freely for us. He says, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly, and I have the power to lay it down, mm-hmm. and I have the power to take it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it is by our sins that He's nailed to the cross, but it's in His great love and mercy and forgiveness that He frees us from the yes. punishment and the throes of death spiritually, that we can live with Him and be with Him.
Yes. And this is the gospel. This is the simplicity of the gospel.
And
as we talked about, there's different gospels now, and there's different Jesuses now. Everybody has a different idea of what the gospel is.
Everybody's individualism is out rampant.
And it's why it's a time where we need new evangelization. And all you have to do is look at Europe, which was the center of Christianity mm-hmm. for centuries. Now Europe is a mission field.
Yeah.
I love this song. Remember, check out givetograceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Sing and praise Him, and His prayer will say, amen. Sing.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Love Ooh, that song.
That's an awesome song.
Someday we should do a show just on that song. I've always been saying that.
Yeah.
We definitely need to do like 2 1 and Messiah sessions just on based on that song.
There's so much
stuff in it.
There is. Maybe we can. Well, it's kind of like a Christ the King song, because that's when Jesus comes back and returns, and Israel's going to say amen.
Oh,
so see it?
How exciting.
We'll play it again next week.
Okay. Maybe after the new year we can do some of that. But anyway, because we have to do like Advent stuff and Christmas stuff first.
Got to get prepped.
But as all these things happen, you know, as we're saying, unless Messiah comes into the world, comes into time. See, this is... People also don't understand, because God lives outside of time.
Wait, how's that possible?
That's why he's I am, because he's always in the present.
Ooh.
There is not time. And then not only does Jesus, Yeshua, as the ever-existent second person of the Trinity, condescends to take on human form, he actually, another big condescension is, he comes into time. So he's born as a baby and goes through time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when Jesus of Nazareth is walking with his friends and he gets hungry and says, hey, I'm hungry, and looks up at the sun and goes, yeah, it's about noon. We probably should have some lunch. You know, because now he's living in time, and he has humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it got to be like, you know, 9 p.m. and it was really dark and you couldn't see anything, he probably said, you know, I'm sick of talking to you bozos. I'm going to go to sleep for a while. I'm tired. It's been a long day.
That would have been very nice.
Yeah. But he gets that. but because he has a real human body, there's a certain time of day where he would get tired.
Yeah.
There's a certain time of day where he would get hungry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain time of day where he might even trip over something and say, oh, I hurt my ankle. Because anything that happened to humans can happen to him except for sin.
Right.
He didn't have that, you know, works of the flesh problem like we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul points out he had the appearance of sinful flesh, because he looked like every other man. He had the appearance of sinful flesh, but of course didn't have the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we prepare for Messiah to come into the world, we're not only waiting for a baby, but we're waiting for God to enter into time, into our experience. Because he enters our life just like we live it.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been, and this is why the writer to the Hebrews says, you know, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Because he knows when you say, well, I'm really tired today, he knows what that means.
Yeah.
Or when you say, you know, I'm really sad that my friend died, he knows what that means.
Because
he was sad when his friend died.
Yeah.
Or when you have some injury or something happens to you that you're having pain, he knows what that means because he suffered pain, not as a kind of theoretical concept. He actually suffered pain.
Yeah.
Like we would.
Very real.
So whatever pain other guys had when they were crucified, he suffered it worse than they did.
Yeah.
Because he was human. So we're waiting for this. And you mentioned Christ the King, which, you know, is he's of course Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that. And, in order to be king, he has to come here in his kingdom, and he has to be glorified. I can't remember where. Oh, last night's group I was talking about. No, maybe it was the other. Was it the other night at one of Messiah? I can't remember where I was talking about how, you know, the scripture points out that the Holy Spirit can't be poured out until Jesus is glorified. So, in other words, he has to die, he has to rise, he has to ascend into heaven, he has to sit at the right hand of the Father. In other words, he has to be glorified, and then the Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah, because he tells Mary Magdalene, don't touch me because I haven't ascended to the Father yet.
Exactly. And so, as we get ready to celebrate this Advent preparation for Messiah to be born, we think about coming into time with a human body in order to do what the plan of salvation is, in order to understand that this is a necessary thing that has to be done, because it's God could conceivably, with a big voice from the sky, say, here's what I want everyone to do. But he doesn't do that. He could conceivably write messages in the sky that people could read, but he doesn't do that. And the plan is that he's going to send his son in order to save the world so that the world may not be condemned, but might be saved through him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we're pointing at. And there's a long preparation, starting, well, it starts with Abraham being chosen, but it actually starts in earnest with David and Messiah being the son of David, and David's city being Bethlehem, and David being from the tribe of Judah. And all these things start the process that points to that stable or cave or whatever it was in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. where Messiah was born. And we're going to talk about that as time goes on, but of course we have to stop having these really long introductions. But,
well, they're all preparatory.
Yeah, they're all preparatory.
We got to take that up with the Lord and say, can we get a shorter? See, but then even that, it's all preparation.
Yeah.
If we just delved right into it, we'd miss the whole
process. There's a lot of preparation. And the interesting thing to keep in mind, and you know, we know these things, but we don't think about them. You know, he comes from his people. I had lunch today with a very good friend of mine who's a very wonderful conservative Jewish man who's very observant. And I'm always telling him little things about Yeshua, and he, you know, good-naturedly takes it because we've been friends for years, and sometimes he rolls his eyes, but most of the time we have a nice discussion. But, you know, today I was telling him, well, you know, Yeshua's one of your people. You know, he wasn't one of my people weren't related to him. You know, he's one of your people, but now my people are included in the plan of salvation that was actually started through your people.
Yeah. It's adoption.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've talked about that many times on the show, that if, you know, if you have an adopted child and you treat that adopted child differently than you do your natural born son or daughter,
yeah,
you know, there's going to be division in the family.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not going to be pretty.
No.
And that's really what you have in the church.
That's right.
There's division in the church because everybody wants to be the favorite son.
Have you ever been in ministries that were divided?
No, I've never experienced
well, I
that.
Have.
Wow, that has to be different.
I tell our friend Paul Wilbur, I've been thrown out of ministries that I helped to start, and he just laughs.
You have?
I have. I think you were too, on at least one occasion.
Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. Maybe it wasn't. You know, just maybe it just wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
But then it could be, you know, somebody's own pride. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But in any event, the good news of the gospel still has to be preached, whether you're technically in the ministry or not, because you're still on the team. Jesus is, I don't want to say the head coach, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And we answer to him.
And boy, do we need a new evangelization.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Some new team players. No, I'm like, and we just pray that he who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that he would come into your heart, that you would invite him into your heart and invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, that he may renew you and make you that new wineskin to receive the new wine of the Holy Spirit, that you may go out and bear fruit for the kingdom, a 30, 60, and 100-fold yield. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.